Certainly good to see each of you here, and certainly appreciate the visitors coming our way. And I'm sure that Sam sent them up here to see us, and we do appreciate that at this time. One of the things that I have in mind as we think about it, we think about the world and the shape it's in today. And I don't mean overseas entirely, but anywhere that we see, even in our surroundings as far as where we go to school and where we have all the things that we see. And one of the things that is so disturbing as we see it is that there's just no one that thinks much about our God and serving Him. And you know, as we go to the book of Romans in chapter 3, I think we see there, look at verse 9 and 10. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have become provided both Jews and Greeks that they are all sin. As in it written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Then in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, as we think about it, there are about three things that in our life and in the life of all people we need to think about. One is death. Now that one, I think, is probably understood more than any that it's going to happen. We can't get by without facing death. But I think there are two more things that we need to think about. After we die, there is judgment. And the thing about it is, no one is going to get past those two things, death and judgment. Then the other thing that we need to think about after judgment is eternity. I mean, we're going to experience all of these. Everybody in it is ever born is going to face all of these. Death, judgment, and eternity. And we know that eternity, there's only two places. Heaven and hell. And eternity means that there's no end to it. That's the reason, I always liked that last verse in Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years. In other words, there's just no end to it. It just goes on and on. And we need to be prepared then for the right place. You know, even looking in Romans, back up to chapter 1, a very familiar verse is 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We see here that Paul, in writing the book of Romans, made it clear he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You see, because here we see For it is the power of God unto salvation. So we need to understand the gospel of Christ because of what we see that we must experience. I like to start with a favorite passage in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Think about it, friends. The gospel needs to be preached. We need to obey the gospel, and we need to live according to God's commands. Turn, if you would, now to the book of Galatians a minute. In the book of Galatians, I want you to look, first of all, in chapter 3. Let's just look what Paul was writing to the churches of Galatia. I want to start with about verse 22 in chapter 3. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Well, that's what Jesus said when he was going into heaven. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. That's the old covenant of the Old Testament. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. In our world, even those who are somewhat religious do not understand that. That we're no longer under that schoolmaster or the old covenant. We're under the new covenant, the covenant of faith. Notice then, as we read in verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Think about all of that. And at the same time, I want you to underline in verse 26 something. For you are all the children of God. Think of that. If we are obedient to the gospel, we're children of God. You know, that brings a special thought to your mind. The fact that we're children. Compare that with the world that we live in and when we have children that grow. I think we see very clearly then that as children, we have to learn and grow and mature as life takes us. You know, that subject is used quite a lot. Now, as we think on this, we'll come back to this chapter, but I want to go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you go to John, chapter 1, I want you to notice there something that he has stated in that. In John, chapter 1, look at verse 12. He says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Even John wrote it in the first chapter, the fact of becoming sons of God. We want to be sons of God. And that's what he was saying there in Paul writing there in the book of Galatians, when in verse 26 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith." So we have to be obedient to him, as it tells us there in verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How do we get in Christ? We're baptized into him. You know, our world doesn't understand it. Even those who are somewhat religious, they don't understand all of that. But let's go back to Romans again. This time, let's go to chapter 8 in Romans. Another familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of you. But in Romans chapter 8, it's amazing, I think. As we read there, let's just start reading there about verse 15. Or maybe verse 14. I think maybe we even need to go further back, because I think we need to understand what's going on. Let's go to 12, verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Now then, go on. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If we're led by the Spirit of God and obedient to it, we become sons of God. Notice on, he says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's what we want to be, the children of God. And then he says in verse 17, "And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." As children of God, if we are obedient to the gospel, we become sons of God, children of God. And then as we think about what we have in mind, death, judgment, eternity. And the thing is, we're all going to, everyone that is born is going to deal with those three things. We want to be children of God. And I think that's what we see. Let's go back to Galatians now. Let's drop on down into chapter 4 a little bit. He says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Think of all of that and what that really means to us. You know, we need to think about it. Turn to Hebrews a minute. And in Hebrews, I want you to notice something. Let's go to chapter 3 first. Look at verse 6. "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." What a thought. You know, we're children of God. And we need to be obedient to Him and do all that He has spoken. And He's at the right hand of God now, waiting for the time when all of this will come apart. Notice in chapter 9, look at verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You know, when you turn the news on, it's disturbing, and it seems like it's even getting closer to us all the time, the things that are happening. The shootings and the killings that we see getting close to us. They don't understand what he's saying here. It's appointed and a man wants to die, but after that, the judgment. Nobody is going to escape that. And the sad part of it is, they could. You know, and it's a strange thing that we see. Dustin used Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and I think it's the one we need to think on. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for it He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know, this chapter deals with those of us that were under the old law, that were obedient to God, such as Noah. Noah was commanded to build an ark. Took him a long time, but he done it. Abraham and others were commanded. And what would they do? Notice in verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Even these are old, in the old system. They look for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Do we look forward to the time that we will spend eternity? There's a few passages that we could look at. I want to name some. Psalms 90 and verse 10. 80 if 80. Hey, that's only 80. That's only 80. That's the time of man in this earth. And then we go to face the other parts that we're going to face. You know, in James 4:14, it says, life is a vapor. It appeareth and then it goes away. You know, that's the thing that we see. Job 14:1. It's a few days compared to what we're facing. But we're facing everlasting life or everlasting punishment. And when we've been there 10,000 years. Oh. But I think we need to go back again now to Galatians. And let's look at that again. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you done that? You know, there's another passage that is very familiar to that in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Think on that a minute. How do we get the benefit of Christ and get in Christ? It's when we're baptized. This points up something else. How do we get the benefit of his death? Verse 3 tells us. We're baptized into his death. You know, how is it that the world does not understand all that? But we are the children of God. And we need to be prepared for the time that we will stand in judgment. You know, it's a shame as we think about it. I think we ought to turn to James a minute. The book of James, chapter 4. If I can get myself straightened out here. James chapter 4. And let's start with verse 13. Verse 13. Go ye now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me point up the fact we are committed to live for Jesus and do his will. And when we think about it, there are passage after passage that we have. One of the strongest, I think, is in the Gospel of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We diligently have to seek him, as we've seen, and we must do his will. And that's one thing in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Chapter 5 of Matthew talks about being in the light and continuing in the light. We need to serve him every day and think about what the Word of God teaches. And we need to become Christians or children of God. I'll ask you, are you a child of God? If you've never been baptized, if you don't repent of your sins, you're not a child of God. But we need to be. You know, Peter and Paul and all were instrumental in spreading the gospel. And we need to be instrumental in spreading it and teaching it to people and living it before them as examples. Three things again: death, judgment, and eternity. Are you prepared for all of that? If not, why not today, as we stand and sing?